When you speak from time to time, you tend to collect little things that you can use and encourage. And I picked this out of paper, must be two or three years ago. And it's about St. Paul's Cathedral. And it's rather sad. It says, "Horror as a woman falls to her death from the gallery at St. Paul's." That's the Whispering Gallery, the one that you see up in the top, which was rather sad. But the story I want to share with you, because you do collect things from other preachers and books that you read, don't you? And it related to St. Paul's Cathedral, going back a little bit further. And it is the Whispering Gallery. And it's a place where if you stand in one side and you just whisper, people can hear what you're saying at the exact opposite, and they can pick it up. So if you're talking something, other people can listen in. And this goes back some years when, in fact, a young Christian man, he was hoping to get married. He was a cobbler by trade, and things were really bad, and he'd run out of leather. When he had leather, he could make shoes that were well sought after, but he's run out of material. And of course, he didn't feel that the marriage could go ahead because he had nothing to offer. And going back then, it was a difficult time. And there he was near St. Paul's Cathedral. So he went in one day and he went up into the gallery. And he was standing up there because he thought he would be up there and able to pray. And as he stood just leaning against the wall, his lips were barely moving, but he was just speaking out. And he was pleading with God that God would hear his prayers. We were talking about that this morning, about having no anxieties about anything. And we're going to look at prayer tonight. And there he made his prayer to God that God would be gracious and merciful to him. He went home and he waited. And a few days later, he went round to his shop and there was a box. And when he opened it, there were some nice cuttings of fine leather. And he took that leather and he started to make his shoes. And the shoes were sought after. And as the weeks went on, the money was coming in. He was able to get it. And his little business took off and he got married. But he was always curious as to where the leather came from. But God had answered his prayer. And then eventually, a little while later, he found out who had provided the leather. In actual fact, standing at the other side of the gallery was none other than William Gladstone, the Prime Minister at that time, who had stood there listening to that prayer. And God had used that. Unexpected, but there was the answer to that young man's prayer. So it does encourage us, doesn't it, that prayer is power and God can answer our prayers, and we have to believe that he will. And of course, there's other stories about prayer that you like, but we support SGA. And I love the way in which Peter Deinecke had set his thoughts on SGA. Much prayer is much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power at all. He was a young man who, in his mid-teens, about 15, he was sent across from Belarus to go across to America. And that was the trend then, to send your teenage sons or daughters so that they could earn money, because in Belarus, poverty was rife and they were there. And he came across, I don't know, I'm sure most of you must know that story. And he managed to find lodgings with a Russian couple. And he went and they gave him a room. But what put him off and he had to get out was they were Christians. And people wanted to pray for him and to pray for his family. And he couldn't be bothered with this prayer. He just had to get out. So he left. But the trouble was, if you wanted to learn English, and we do it in this country as well, a number of churches actually teach English to people who have come from other countries, and you got it free when you were there. If he wanted to learn English, he had to go to a church to learn. And of course, as time went on, guess what? People kept praying for him, and he was eventually converted. So the power of prayer there touched this young man, and that's how SGA came into being, and we support SGA and the tremendous work that God's done. So prayer is power, and prayer does work, and we praise God for that, that we can pray and seek God's grace and mercy on our own lives and our family and those around who need us to pray for them. Matthew 26, 36 to 46. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then Jesus said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." And he went a little further, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples, and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again a second time he went away, and he prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came, and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Well, this morning we were looking at perhaps a verse or two that we could memorize over today, and that was from Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, which says, "Have no anxieties about anything, but in all things through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests unto the Lord." And this morning we were looking at anxiety, worry or fear, and we went through that. And tonight I'd like us to look again at the attitude of prayer and some of God's great saints of old who in Scripture give us a challenge in the different circumstances that we have in prayer. And I was using this little poem that I came across some years ago, which started off saying, "Worry, why worry, what can worry do?" And the second verse of this, and it's all related to Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, it says, "Pray, why pray? What can praying do? Praying really changes things, arranges life anew. It's good for the digestion, gives you peaceful hours at night, and fills the greyest, gloomiest days with rays of glowing light. It puts a smile upon your face and a love note in your tone. Makes you fit to live with others and fit to live alone. Pray, why pray? What can praying do? It brings God's love and power from heaven to live and work with you." And that's what prayer is all about. And we have a great opportunity to come to God in prayer. In the Bible, we find that prayer is shown as when we come worshipping God with all the attitudes of our human spirit. We worship God with adoration. Yes, we come to adore him. Confession. Yes, we come to confess our sins. We come to praise him and bring our supplications too in our prayers. How should we pray? And how do we know that God hears and wants to answer our prayers? Well, James tells us, doesn't he, when he says, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." And we know that if you want to study prayer and go into it more, there are some wonderful books by Spurgeon, Lloyd-Jones, and even the one about Peter Deinecke and how he said much prayer is much power. So there's no need for us to go into that, because you can always get a book and you can follow it up yourself. But throughout the Bible, we find that God gives us situations and circumstances that were faced by many of these great saints of God in bygone times. And they're there to encourage us and show us that in their situations, they prayed, God heard and answered their prayer and brought them through. Perhaps tonight we can encourage ourselves by simply just reminding ourselves of some of these great men. We can encourage ourselves as we face this uncertain future that the world is going to unravel into, face the problems or the struggles that we might have to come across in the coming days. So the power of prayer is good. And God's word certainly gives us the instruction in how to overcome these many problems that we have to face. And in Ephesians 6, it tells us that part of the whole armour of God that encourages us to put on includes prayer. All prayer to be offered at all seasons with all perseverance for all the saints. And Paul, he practiced what he preached. And what it's really saying there is that prayer is something that we can make at any time, any place, and for any situation that we have. You can be on a bus, you can be travelling in a train, you can be anywhere, and you can take that opportunity to come to God in the attitude of prayer. Well, in one of the little study notes that I was reading on prayer, it came up with an interesting illustration, and it reminded me just the same as working in a factory. It tells the story of some visitors who were being shown around a factory, a manufacturing factory, and everywhere they went, they were delighted to see everything being put together, to see how their products came from individual parts that were eventually brought together to give the final product. And as they went round the factory, they were showing the visitors everything that was there. And then they took them through a door, and when the door closed, there was utter silence. And one of the visitors said, he looked around and he said, "There's nothing here. Can we not go back out? It's all happening out there." And then the manager turned around and said, "Everything works out there because of here. It was a substation. It's where all the power came from, the power that made everything else work." And the illustration there is that prayer is what makes everything work. In our lives, we need to pray, don't we? Jesus gives some wonderful illustrations, doesn't he, on how we should pray and when we should pray. If you go into Mark, we find in one instance, it was in the morning, long before daylight, Jesus found a solitary place so that he could pray. And in Luke tells us about Jesus going out onto the mountain for an all-night prayer meeting where he prayed to his God. Matthew tells us that was in the evening. He was always alone when he pulled himself aside. And in Luke, he withdrew often in times of need so that he could pray. So there we find that Jesus, before he set out each day, he took time to pray to God. And when he was out there in the midst of the day, evening, when he was busy and he was working, he took time to draw aside so that he could pray. Do you know, sometimes you find that a church, or the popularity of the churches, is how the church is. People like a church because of the activities in it. Some people think it's about the minister, and they come because they have the man that they like. But in actual fact, when we come to pray, That's when we take time to come before God, isn't it? It's not just the church and the people. It's not just the minister. It's by God. And so that's why we're given encouragement to pray and to pray to God. The prayer meeting is the powerhouse of any church, and that's where we should all be, at the prayer meeting. And if we look at one or two of the men that's described in the Bible, if we take Job, for instance, Job prayed to God when he lost absolutely everything, and yet he still prayed. In the beginning of Job, it says, Job prayed and sacrificed for his family. So he loved his family, and he praised God for them, and he prayed and sacrificed regularly for them. But then when you go on, and God took everything from Job, it says, and Job prayed and worshipped God, even when he lost absolutely everything. His own words were when he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave me, and the Lord has taken away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. In all his personal struggles, Job still worshipped and prayed to God. The Bible tells us that we should pray without ceasing. And then Job said, you know, when you're praying to God, it's not that you see God working all the time. He says, look, I can go forward, but God isn't there. And when I go backwards, I cannot perceive him. But he works in the left hand, I cannot behold him. When he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him. In other words, he's saying, I keep praying, but I don't always see God at work. But I know God is working for me. But he knows the way that I take. And when he has tested me, he says, I shall come forth as gold. And what did Jesus say to Thomas when Thomas doubted? He said, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen me, and yet they believe. How did Job find restoration? He prayed, and he prayed with his friends. And the Bible, the verse actually says that in 42:10 it says, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friend. And the interpretation is that although we go through difficulties and problems, and we pray to God for our own personal needs, we should also be praying for others, for those around us who we know also have problems. Or when we pray for the church and for our fellow members of the church, we are praying for other people at the same time, not just for ourselves. And that is prayer, and that is commitment. So we're encouraged to pray for other people as well. But then if we go back to another Old Testament character, what about Jacob? Here was a man who actually wrestled with God. He wouldn't let him go. And we find that he struggles with God. He's praying with God. And eventually he says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. You have struggled with God, says God, the angel. You have struggled with God and with men, and you have prevailed. And he blessed him there. He would not let him go. And he called the place the face of God, and my life is preserved. Yes, we are encouraged to pray. I don't know if you've read any of Spurgeon's books and prayers, but in one book he comes up and he prays, and Spurgeon obviously knew the scriptures, and when he was praying to God, he would return to the passage of the scriptures that was relevant. And he would be praying to God and say, Lord, you have said in your word that if we follow your word and we listen to what you say and we obey it and we come to you, you will answer us. And so he would pick out the scriptures that were relevant to his situation, and he would come to God and he would plead the very word of God and seek God to hear and to answer his prayer. But what is it that drives us to the very presence of God? What causes these people to have such a rich fellowship of prayer life with their God. Because when you stop and think about it, when our life seems to be a bed of roses and we're wandering around and everything is going fine, do we really take as much time to pray to God? And yet, it's the opposite. When we have problems and difficulties, when we are facing the uncertainty, is that not when we are driven to spend much more time before the throne of grace? With Jacob, he was in fear and trembling of his brother Esau, so he was clinging to God. You said that I should come here. You told me to do this, Lord, and I'm praying, so please help me. But such an encounter takes something. It takes a lot out of us, doesn't it? And the Bible tells us that after he struggled with God, he limped. And you know, you have to put the effort in to our prayer time. And God blessed him and used him. And God often, through circumstances, through problems and difficulties, he drives us to himself. And it's sure that that's when we pray more and more. Then if we have a quick look at Jonah, here was someone who was actually running away from God, wasn't he? When we avoid God, by gum, we don't have get ourselves into difficult situations. When we stop praying, is that not when things start to go wrong? When we stop reading our Bibles, it's as if God seems to pull back and says, fine, you do it your way. There's nowhere to go, and like Jonah, there was nowhere he could go and hide. Until, of course, God put his hand upon him to draw him back. And there inside that great fish, we find that Jonah was there and he was praying when he says, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of hell I cried, and you heard my voice. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you, into your holy temple, and you heard my cry. Indeed, sometimes we get ourselves into difficulties. And you know, sometimes that happens because God is telling us that something in our lives should be changed. We should be doing something in our life, and we don't really want to get involved in it. We don't want to. We tend to pull away. And so that's the time when God often puts his hand upon us and gives us a little nudge and pushes us forward. And then, of course, there was Daniel. I mentioned Daniel this morning. What problems or difficulties do we face out there in the world? We might be struggling. We know that things are going to change, and in the coming weeks we are going to find ourselves facing some uncertainties. But what do we do when we face that? Or when we're out there and because we're Christians, we don't seem to fit in with our neighbours or the people we work beside because of our Christian stance. We don't go where they go. We don't do the things that they do. And here we find Daniel. When Daniel's his colleagues ganged up against him, they turned against him. What did he do? Did he rush to King Darius to give him his views? You want to hear my side of it? No, he didn't. He went to the place of prayer. And it tells us now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home and in his upper room and with his window open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and he prayed and he gave thanks before his God, as was his custom. He was a man of prayer. And when we become people of prayer and we set aside each day that time so that we can pray to God, then it becomes a habit and God hears and he answers our prayer. Sometimes we think it's just a quick call to God, and that's going to solve our problems. Daniel knew his God. That's why Daniel spent much time praying to God. He set his face towards the Lord his God and he prayed. And what about Nehemiah? Billy's been speaking on Nehemiah over these past weeks, months, and here is a life, and he was facing a sudden death situation, was he? When he stood before the king, and the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart." And it says that Nehemiah became dreadfully afraid. Why? Well, he was dreadfully afraid because such was the absolute power of King Artaxerxes that if you looked sad in his presence, you could be dismissed, you could be punished, and quite often you lost your life. Everyone had to be in his presence to smile and be relaxed. And that was why Nehemiah cried out to God. All was not lost. The king asked him, "What do you request?" "So I prayed to the God of heaven." There in his heart, in the presence of the king, in the king's courts, in his mind, he cried out to God for his help. What right did Nehemiah have to make such a prayer? Or what resources was he now calling upon? Why should God listen to that sudden prayer out of the blue? Well, when you go back, you'll find why. Because in verse 4, back at the chapter 1, he tells us, "For Nehemiah had wept, and he had mourned, and he had prayed for many days, fasting and praying before the God of heaven." He was pleading to God for the very thing that was about to happen. There we find the answer to it. And later on he says, "Lord, remember me for the good." You see, when you want to pray, you have to put the time in. You have to do the preparation. God hears and he answers our prayers for those who constantly pray and to seek his hand upon them. And God does that for us. If we pray daily, as we seek all our situations to bring them before him, then you will find that that's when God hears and he answers prayer. When you look back in the Old Testament, when you think of David, and look at the sinfulness in David's life, and yet he kept praying to God, confessing his sin, and God loved him. Paul, who struggled in his life of service and the difficulties he had, was a man of prayer. Moses, as we mentioned this morning, when he was trying to move the Israelites out of Egypt into the promised land, a man who was constantly before his God. And then we can think of modern day life. We know that people are constantly in prayer. God puts his hand upon them. Somebody like George Mueller, who would never ask anybody for anything for his children's homes. He would go and he would pray. Never asked, never put his hand out to say to people, "I need help." He only ever took it to God in prayer. And of course, we know there are organizations out there, Christian ones, who are seeking to serve God. Prayer is the power in which we live by. And so prayer is why or how we can avoid the worries and the anxieties that we so often have. Have no anxiety about anything, but in all things, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto the Lord. And then the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.